God, we thank you for the power of divine love and for the presence of your love in one another. Guide our hearts and minds into the greatest love, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel on this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, brings us back to the night of the Passover, the Last Supper. Jesus and his disciples were in the upper room in Jerusalem. Jesus got up from the table and tied a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples. It was a practical thing to do and common in that part of the world at that time, but what was not common was who did it. Their leader, their rabbi. It was an extraordinary thing for him to have done. Then we hear that Judas rose from the table to go and report Jesus to the authorities. That is where we enter in today's gospel. That odd lead-in that says, when he had gone out, referring to Judas as he left. Jesus took the opportunity, as he always did, once again to repeat that he and the Father are one, that the glory of God resides in him, that Jesus went on to give that new commandment. They are to love one another even as he has loved them. In this way, others will know that they are his disciples. Jesus had already taught them that they should love God and that they should love their neighbor. Now he's telling them to love each other. But he didn't just simply say that they were to love one another. Jesus was very specific about the kind of love the disciples were to share. Jesus said that they were to love one another even as I have loved you. And that is how to glorify God. And that is their new commandment. And that is our commandment. This new commandment that Jesus gives is positive and open-ended. Unlike the Ten Commandments or the Leviticus laws, they were very specific. But this law is very broad. We can never claim full compliance because there is no end to the requirement. We will never have loved enough. We will never be able to say, I did that, and I'm done. I've been there, done that. There's always need for more love. The people who could respond to the old laws with a sort of bookkeeper's mindset, not so with this new commandment. The focus is on loving actions rather than loving feelings. The action of love must continue, regardless of feelings. Further on in John's gospel, Jesus will repeat this commandment, saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus is talking about a sacrificial love, a love that Jesus speaks to us today. In his own life, Jesus translates love into action that benefits the beloved, and he calls us to do the same. Our action of love is a gift from Christ, who loved us, showed us how to love others, showed us how love behaves. It makes of us a new people, born again in his image and capable of loving in a way he loved. we can truly obey this commandment, as Paul said, when it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. If you believe yourself to have a valid excuse not to love a particular person or group of people, consider the context in which Jesus tells the disciples to love one another in this gospel passage. Jesus has just told them that one of the group will betray him. And they don't know as of yet who that will be. The betrayer has departed, but the disciples don't know that it was Judas yet. Jesus commands them to love one another anyway, in spite of the fact that they do not know who the betrayer will be. Even then, they are to love. They don't know who it is that they can trust, but they are to love. They are simply commanded to love. Christian witness can take many forms, from street preaching to solemn liturgy, from outreach to prayer, to the sharing of the sacrament. But it always involves sacrificial love that Jesus spoke of. You know that the church grew rapidly after the resurrection, in part because of the powerful witness of Christian love displayed. See how they love one another, the pagan said. See how they love. And as our gradual hymn said, they will know we are Christians by our love. Ignoring this new commandment is not an option for us. Never has been and never will be. Paul warns, if I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If I have not love, I am nothing. With all commandments, this one ultimately requires us to throw ourselves on the mercy of the court, to rely on God and God's good grace to help us. Most of us fail daily to act in loving ways, even towards loved ones, and even more so towards people who rub us the wrong way. Good news is, God continually invites us into his life of love and will give us strength and courage to do so. So we must pray for grace to keep this commandment, for grace when we fail, and thanks when we don't. Pick ourselves up and say that we desire to love with all our heart, all our souls, all our mind, and with all our strength. And God will give us the grace to do so. A couple of years ago, a Canadian by the name of Jean Vanier died. Some of you may know of his teachings and his life. He was the founder of L'Arche, a movement that provides communities for developmentally challenged people and those that assist them. There's one here in Toronto, but there are 37 such communities around the world. These communities are an expression of love that reflects the glory of God that Jesus speaks of in today's gospel. Vanier was quoted as saying, "We are not called by God to do extraordinary things, but we do ordinary things with extraordinary love." We are to do ordinary things with extraordinary love. It is the extraordinary love that makes things so extraordinary. And I believe that God's Spirit working in us and through the fellowship of church empowers us to live as His children and in His kingdom. This glorious God, whom we ask for gifts and are given gifts, who reaches out to us, shares His glory with us, created in the image of that same God. We live with the intention of sharing His extraordinary love to us with others. And this extraordinary love is not just about forgiving someone. It's not just about tolerating someone who is different from us. It is a loving as Jesus has loved us. As church, we have embodied a desire to show extraordinary love to the world. Together, we show the world that when we are different, we are all the same in the love of Christ. If we were all the same and loved each other, it would not require us to live a sacrificial extraordinary love. But we are different because we need to be different. We love because we need to love. We are church because God needs us to demonstrate that different and love belong together. And more specifically, we here at St. Saviour's have the ability to show the love of God in ways that are extraordinary to the world. You know, when I look at all of you, I'm amazed at the differences that we collectively embody. The gifts, the opinions, the variety of backgrounds and experiences, it's all here. But more importantly, I believe that makes us an ordinary community able to demonstrate extraordinary love. We're not always perfect, but we persevere. We want to show and live the extraordinary love that Jesus shared with us. And that no matter what, the evil one cannot prevent us from offering that extraordinary love. That is what it is to glorify God, to sit beside someone that we do not agree with and yet to love, to hold opinions that are different and yet to love, to live different realities and yet to love, as ordinary as we are, to show extraordinary love. We glorify God when the church can be full of gloriously different people and love each other because we are different. May the grace of God Almighty continue to work in us those extraordinary acts of love. Amen.